Hey guys, and welcome to the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, presented by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. The first podcast to bring you the local fishing report for Alabama's lakes and rivers, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. I'm your host, Nick Williams, and this week's show is brought to you by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. Are you frustrated by your typical hunting and fishing magazines? Are you tired of reading content meant for guys up north or in the Midwest? Don't get left behind following the guidance of guys who don't hunt and fish in your home state. Pick up a Great Days Outdoors magazine subscription and become a better Southern outdoorsman. Great Days Outdoors magazine can be found at your local Books-A-Million, Tractor Supply Company, Rural King, or you can save and buy online at greatdaysoutdoors.com. Hey folks, got a quick announcement. AFTCO has a new promotion for all Great Days Outdoors Podcast Network listeners. They are now offering a camo sunglasses cleaner cloth with any purchase of AFTCO products. We've become very fond of their hooded sun protection shirts as well as their Seiko fluorocarbon here at Great Days Outdoors. All that you have to do to get your coupon code is text ALFFR to 779-345-2918. Again, just text ALFFR, that's Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, to 779-345-2918. Subscribe to our email list and we'll send you the promo code via email. Alrighty guys, welcome back to another week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report. This week, first up, we got Dip McMillan reporting down here on the Mobile 10 Saw Delta. Dip, always good to have you on the show.
Good to be here, man. I appreciate you, Nick.
Absolutely. You know, I managed to get out some last week, and it was the first time I managed to get my wife and my daughter out, and we fished. We did a little bluegill fishing. Mama got to catch some fish, and then kiddo got to watch all that, and then we got to fry up some fish, and she got to eat a little teeny tiny bit of fish that her mama caught. So it was a good weekend for us out on the water. So I don't usually get to deliver a good fishing report, but man, I can tell you that The bluegill were doing pretty good. They were making me look good last weekend. So,
oh man, that's awesome.
What about you? How'd you do? I know you've been out there.
Man, I got a chance to go yesterday. I had a vacation day, so I went yesterday, and man, it was unreal. It was just absolutely unreal with these high winds, Nick. I really wasn't expecting that much, man. I got a late start and the cold front came in the night before, and usually after a nice change like that, those fish just shut off. And the water temperature went down a little bit, and so I wasn't expecting much, man. And I got out there around about 7:45, 8 o'clock, and let me tell you, I had two crappies in a boat less than a minute, and I was like, what in the world? And I was fishing not a new creek, but the first time I was fishing this creek north of this cliff, first time I fished this creek this year. And like I said, I was getting out of wind. I know that wind was going to pick up. So I know it's a lot of spots in there. I can get up in a couple coves and a couple turns in that creek that'll knock that south wind, that north wind down. And let me tell you, man, like I said earlier, that's less than a minute, I caught two slabs. And it was just nonstop. And I had some minnows too. And it was too cold that morning to be dipping that net and getting my hand wet with minnows. And so I used one minnow the whole trip yesterday. And I was using my main jig was an ATX Monkey Milk with the green tail and the Dippy Special Chartreuse body that I've been trying out for at least 2 years, and we just put it on the shelf because that bait is unreal. But that Monkey Milk yesterday just was insane, man. I caught like 180 crappie and kept a solid, I'm talking about a solid limit, man. And it was just nonstop until I left. I just couldn't ask for a better trip. And I thought I had it all on, have it all on my GoPro, and made a mistake and left my GoPro at the truck. Made me sick on my stomach.
Man, that's a 180 crappie. That's doing pretty good. I didn't know. I know, At the little North Baldwin event that there was a while back, I went and I saw you, and you was talking, I think when I pulled up, you was talking with Kyle Reeves at ATX, and I didn't know you had a Dippy Special crappie lure coming out. Neither of y'all both kept me out of the loop on that one. So you said it's a chartreuse body, and what's the tail?
No, it's the tail is chartreuse with a black and silver body. And it looked just like a minnow, but it gives you that chartreuse flash. If you're in some murky or murky water, that chartreuse tail would get those bites also, but it looked just like a minnow.
That is good to know, and I will definitely. I don't know that I can fish it as good as Dip can, but if there's a Dippy special down here on the Delta, I'm gonna have to go to Becky's and pick me up a pack.
These guys around here, like Will Steele, a few more others, I want to say Matt Whittle. I mean, these guys, I mean, it's just awesome, man. All these guys around here using this jig right now and having success. I had Will text me the other day, man, and said, man, you knocked it out the park with this jig. It makes you feel good that other people having success too. And that's what it's all about, man. Just getting success and sharing it with others, man. I mean, ain't nothing. I mean, just a good feeling, man. I want everybody to see.
No, and Kyle's a good guy. I definitely want to see him succeed, and that's great. Tell me a little bit. You mentioned you was up in the creeks to stay out of the wind, and you talked about the water temperature being low and the air temperature being low. I know I struggled some with that Sunday when I got out there. It was definitely windy. Like I got out of my little creek and was getting to the mouth of it and had some places I wanted to fish, and I just turned around and went back home because I was like, no, in my little boat, I just don't want to be out there messing with that. That's just not going to be a good time trying to run the trolling motor and stay on my spots. Monday, because when I went out, it was when the front was rolling in. Yesterday was colder, but I wasn't out on the water. What did the water temperatures get to?
First thing Monday morning, man, I think that where I was, that water temperature, man, it was in like the low 60s. But around lunchtime, it got up to about 67, 68. But first off, man, it was chilly. I mean, chilly.
It's definitely, I was telling you, I was running some limb lines, and yeah, the temperature when I was running them, I was seeing surface temperatures like 58, which seems to me this time of the year just like we're still uncharacteristically cool in the evening with all these snaps that we have coming through. It's definitely, yeah, definitely different. And I got a good laugh saying that it was too cold to put your hand in the minnow bucket because yeah, it was it seems like all of my favorite activities down here on the Delta involve shorts and a jacket weather. You know, you wear your shorts because it's gonna heat up, but first thing in the morning you want that windbreaker and that little bit of insulation, whether it's early bow season or whether it's early spring fishing, like shorts and a jacket will get you outside on the days when you want to be out there.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Yesterday morning, you didn't want to put your hand in a minnow bucket. No, yeah, man, it was like 42, 43 degrees.
It definitely, especially man in duck season, and this is a wrong way to think about it. You should always wear your life jacket and be safe out on the water. But anytime the water gets cold, I get a lot more conscious about boat safety because I'll sit there launching the boat, whatever, you get your feet wet, and you're like, man, I really don't want to fall out the water today.
Yep, absolutely.
And in the summertime, you're thinking, well, it might not be that bad if I fell out the water. Well, tell me, last time we talked, I think you said crappie had done transition. They was off the banks and you was finding them in about 9 feet of water. Is that still about where you're finding them right now?
Yesterday, these fish was in 8, Nick, 8 to 12 foot. And I noticed between 8 to 10 foot, all of them was mostly 90% of them were dead on structure. I mean, but once you've seen a few of them out there from 10 to 12, they were just roaming. And me personally, with the live scope, I love those roaming fish because once you throw over them and bring that jig on the tip of his eyeball, they're going to bite it. And I mean, I just love targeting those roaming fish in about 10 to 12 foot of water. And usually that's a good fish. But like I said earlier, 8 and 10 foot, they were stacked on structure in that depth. I mean, stacked. But once that wind was so bad at times, you just couldn't stay on them. And boat presentation, if you single pole like I was doing yesterday, boat presentation is the key. This is the key. Having that live scope, that boat sitting that one direction, I mean, it's the key. So I catch one or two, and then a boat get all out of whack. So I just drift down and come back to them, going against the wind. Because, like I said, man, that wind yesterday blowing 12 to 15 miles per hour, man, it made it tough at times.
It was already starting to pick up on Monday, and exactly what you said. I was fishing up around some cypress knees for some bluegill, and up in the creek, I was protected and could fish pretty easy. And by the time I started getting where the creek widened out and the wind could pick up a little bit, it was getting pretty hard to stay where I wanted I was running the trolling motor more than I wanted to run it. And it was definitely making me wish I had a shallow water anchor or spot lock. I don't know. I can't remember when I went on your boat. Do you have spot lock? You messed with
I
it,
do.
or how does it
Man,
work for stuff like that?
my spot lock, I got the Minn Kota to rover, and it works good, Nick. And I think a couple of my buddies got the same kind or same issue I have too. It will keep you there, but once that boat or that wind, like the wind was yesterday, once it drift off a little bit, Nick, if you ain't paying attention, it'll get you back to that spot, but it will jerk you off that boat big time.
Really?
So yeah, and if you ain't paying attention, man, you'll fall over. So I usually especially by myself, I usually don't hit that spot lock unless I just really, really, really need it. And I maintain the boat yesterday with my troll motor without hitting the spot lock, good as I need it to catch fish. But I just hate hitting that spot lock right now, man. Like I said, man, it would jerk you out big time.
You talk about jerking somebody out of a boat. I've never lived down. Me and my wife were running limb lines, and I had her in the front of the boat checking lines, and I was running the motor in the back, idling up under limbs. And she was reaching out to check one, and there was a wasp nest on it. And I just reflexively kicked the motor in reverse while she was leaning out over the front of the boat. And she don't run limb lines with me anymore. That's a solo operation now in the Williams I've sold. So. And it doesn't take much. She says that I hit the gas more than I did. I just tried to kick it into reverse and barely put it in gear, but it was just enough to get her over the front of the boat. So yeah, I know even if I'm fishing in a buddy's boat and you're standing up casting whatever, if you don't know when that trolling motor's kicking on, it'll catch you off guard for sure. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of catfish, I know you were sending me some pictures the other day. You've been having some luck running limb lines. I ran some last week, and I'm embarrassed to say I couldn't make it happen, man. I ran them 2 nights. I had some bait get stolen. I think part of it may be on me for not sharpening my hooks or just replacing them hooks. By now, I've been running them for 3 or 4 years, and they're starting to get
Oh
some wear
yeah.
and tear on them. So yeah, I think I was being a little bit cheap. Not even cheap, to be honest. It's just hard to get out and buy tackle in between working and managing kiddo, but I think I'm gonna put that on my to-do list. You were having some luck, so I'm taking pointers. What was the secret for getting on catfish with the limb lines for you?
Nick, this time of the year, I got all the. I mean, and if some people know me, man, I keep a lot of notes. I may seem crazy, but man, I keep a lot of notes. And I flip through them from crappie to catfish. And this time, I'm starting probably about 2 weeks, no, almost a month too late getting on them heavy. But right now, it's the prime time to be catching those big blues or those big yellows. These fish are coming in shallow water during the night or right at day, right at dusk, and just feeding all night long through the morning hours, man. I'm talking to these fish, man, in 4 to 8 foot of water with a live bream, man. And let me tell you, son, it's been crazy. I haven't posted a lot of them, but the fishing with limb line has been unreal. And I've seen a few other guys on the mobile side having a lot of success too. But I don't use nothing fancy. All I use is a number six circle hook for live bait and a small. I want to say it's a half inch weight from Miss Botwell. I mean, just in that tar line she sells up there. So nothing fancy. I just put them in the right spot. I try to, like I say right now, man, they're fishing about 4 to 8 foot of water. The fish I caught yesterday, they was in mainly 4 to 5 foot, and I only had three lines out and caught two nice fish. And the other day I did the same thing too. In that one area right now is just a ton of catfish. So tomorrow when I get off work, I'm gonna go probably get me about 100 crickets, and I'm gonna go catch me some brims, and I'm gonna probably bait up at least 30 hooks tomorrow. These fish is biting right now, so the more hooks out, the better you're gonna have success. So I'm with this moon like it is right now, these catfish is on a feeding frenzy. So hopefully if I get a good bait set tomorrow, I should have some good report come Thursday. Hopefully that wind don't get too high that I can't go after work and check my lines.
Speaking of hoping things ain't too high, I think that was part of my problem is where I was setting them. I run them more in the summer than I do in the spring. I know a lot of guys run them early spring. For me and my little boat, the water is just still kind of high, and it just feels a little more dangerous than I'm comfortable with. And part of that's probably just in my head, but I do have a pretty small boat and a pretty small engine. But running them in the summer, there's not as much current coming through the delta, and the places I typically run lines have more current in the summer. But I was having difficulty. There was so much current that I had a 4 ounce sinker trying to keep bait down. And I was struggling to get my lines out of the current because I'm sure you know this, like if you drop a live bluegill off and there's a bunch of current on him, you'll drown him. So I think that was what was giving me some issues. I think I should have picked out some spots maybe where you had a little slack water, could have got out the current a little bit better.
Yep, less current, big time.
I'll have to give it another shot. I know I'm curious. Have you been picking up any bluegill beds on your side scan sonar? Is that something you look for this time of the year?
I haven't yet. I did fish for some brims last Friday to put on my lines. I didn't hit a bed. I didn't hit a bed at all. I know a lot of people been catching them, but I don't think they're hitting. I think they're just picking up two and three there, four or five there. I don't think they're just hitting beds that have 15 to 20 brims in one bed yet. I don't think it got on fire yet.
That was what we were doing. We were catching them, but they were small. It was hard to find big ones, and they were scattered. You know, every set of cypress knees or a patch of lily pads, you'd pick up a couple here and there. And we were picking up bluegill. We were picking up shellcracker. We was picking up stump knockers or red spotted sunfish. And I caught one real pretty dollar sunfish. So we were catching them. But yeah, I just installed my side scan unit and, a couple of weeks ago, we talked with Steve Graziano about how to find deeper bluegill beds. So I was riding, trying to get my unit tuned in, get a good picture off of it, and get used to reading it. And I didn't see any. You know, I found some good underwater structure that I wouldn't have known about previously. Just with my down scan, I was getting kind of mapping out some of the water close to my house and getting familiar with it. But I'm definitely curious to see if I can start picking some up this summer.
You will on your beds. I got the low rinse carbon on the on my center console, and when they start bedding up, I mean, I can point them out, and I can see brims in those beds, and then I can put the live scope on it, and you can see how many brims in those beds. So once they start bedding, you better see them on your unit. What kind you got? You got a Garmin, right?
I picked up a Garmin. They had a pretty good deal on them that I found. I got one for about half off, and it seemed it took some tweaking to get it right. I had to switch back and forth between the frequency and adjust the color palette and adjust the sensitivity and get used to. And I'm sure you're way past this point in your fishing career, but for me, yeah, I always have to remember in my head, it takes me a second to translate what I'm seeing in the screen to trying to visualize it, right? Like it'll say that it's 30 foot off to the side, but in reality, you know that it's got to be 30 foot minus your water depth. So I was just playing with all that, trying to, you know, keep straight in my head what a brighter versus a weaker return looked like. But there by the end of it, I was getting where you could kind of pick up, you know, you could pass by a cypress tree and you could see how far out in the water them cypress knees extended past the ones you could see.
And the more you stay on there, the better you're gonna get.
That's it. The more I was riding with it and looking at it by day three, I took a couple hours, 3 days in a row to ride out there and read it. And by the end of it, I was getting where I felt more comfortable with it for sure.
Oh yeah.
And getting a lot better picture too. The first day that I went out, that picture left a lot to be desired. So.
I'm gonna tell you, be your best, and that's how I learned on mine. If you got, well, yeah, you're a side scan just like mine. When you go directly over a piece of structure next time, have you a floating buoy out, and you can tell if your unit is dead on. Have you, when you go over that piece of structure, and hopefully, I think that unit's the same one I got or one I had, you'll be able to see if some crappie or some brim on it. Just throw you a piece, just throw you like a road runner down there or a minnow, and you can, and that'll let you know if you get hung up. It'll let you know you're right on that structure or you off. It'll give you some kind of clarity.
For sure. Yeah, that was something that I was doing is up where the docks are up here on Upper Bryant. I was running past the docks and, you know, making sure I could see pilings and
Yeah.
For sure. I was definitely using it, and I may have to move where I've got my transducer, because I had my transducer mounted. I got a small transom, and I had it mounted in a place where it worked okay for downscan, but I think I may be a little too close to my motor because my starboard side signal seems a little off. It seems like I may be getting some interference from the leg of the motor, but we got the whole summer to get her worked out, and then I got still 2 or 3 years to learn how to use it before kiddo is going to be putting me to task and telling everybody about it if I can't get her on bluegill. So I got time to learn.
That's awesome.
That's it. Well, Dip, what's your final words of advice if we got people this weekend who's going to get out there and give it a try down in South Alabama? What's your words of wisdom?
Man, for this weekend, I will tell everyone, stay away from Cliff Landing. If you're going to those creeks by Cliff Landing, please be careful. That wind's gonna be coming out of the south. And that water is going to be white capping and very, very rough. One day, I think we got winds up to 15 to 20 miles per hour. That's bad. The other day, it was up to 10 and 12 on that south wind, like 2 Sundays ago. And I caught it big time, man. Coming back from Mifflin, just beat my boat up big time. And it's going to be a lot worse than that this coming up weekend. So always keep in mind, man, safety's first. If you want to lunch on a fish on the tents all this weekend. Lunch at Live Oak. Lunch at Lord Bryan or Hubbard. Stay in those areas blocking that wind. You don't want to be on a tent saw with those winds that high. And I don't know what time the winds, high winds supposed to come in. Probably come in around about 10, 11 o'clock. So you look at your phone and by hourly and winds, and they'll let you know when it start picking up. So y'all just keep that in mind and have a good fishing trip. And if you fishing for crappie, I do know the Monkey Milk ATX and that Dippy Tensaw Special Jig right now is on fire. It don't matter what kind of head I use, the plain jig head yesterday, or I used the one that got color, the pink jig heads from ATX. They also sell the ATX jig heads 1/8, 1/16. Everybody having success right now. It's just whatever you want to use to catch fish right now on a tensaw, but that Monkey Milk and that Dip Tensaw Special is on fire. Y'all be careful out there if you're going fishing this weekend on a tensaw.
There we go. Y'all definitely pay heed to Dip, because I have seen some bass boats out there get to where they were about pointed 90 degrees to the water coming through on that surf before it gets rough out there on the tensaw between cliffs and Gravine Island. So, well, Dip, I appreciate you as always, everybody. Be sure. Keep track of Dip on his YouTube channel. Keep track of Dippy Outdoors. He does a lot of good for the kids here locally in South Alabama. And Dip, I'll check you out next week.
I appreciate you, Nick. Anytime, buddy.
This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by Dixie Supply and Baker Metalworks. Dixie Supply and Baker Metalworks offer numerous items to help get your project done right the first time. They carry a variety of different panel profiles and your choice of colors and gauges with all the matching trim and accessories. They also offer a full line of hardware items and post-frame building design. Their friendly and knowledgeable sales representatives are always willing to help answer any questions or concerns you may have. Contact them with any questions or to get a free estimate today. Dixie Supply and Baker Metalworks, your metal roofing headquarters. Alrighty, guys, we got a surprise guest coming up in this segment. We're actually going to hear from Brian Sinn, who until last year hosted the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report. I took over his job, and in my opinion, I've got big shoes to fill. I've been struggling with it this year. He's got a lot of charisma, knows a lot of people in the community, so I'm excited to have him back on the show. Brian, how you been doing?
What's up, Nick? I'm doing good, man. I'm glad to be back on here. I don't know about how much of that charisma I got, but I appreciate the kind words.
Now, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners right now whose ears are perking up. They look like the old
Hey,
target dog standing next to the record. So.
man, I 300 episodes, right? I mean, that was a lot of episodes that I did, and man, I miss it, and I think about it every week, and man, you're doing such a phenomenal job. You have more than filled my shoes, that's for sure. But man, I do, I still talk to a lot of the contributors, and you know, 'cause, and you'll find this too, Nick. I mean, it's been a year for you, but and you've already probably seen this, but man, you just get close to the guys. You feel like you get to know them, and then they become friends. And so glad I've been able to keep up with some of them. Actually going on some fishing trip with some of our contributors. And I didn't take advantage of that enough when I was hosting the show. So I'm trying to take it a little more advantage of it now that I've handed that off to you.
Absolutely, yeah. I've got Steve Graziano up on Lake Eufaula. He keeps offering to take me up there, and I need to take him up on it. Steven Rockhart. So I feel like I haven't met him. I haven't met his kids in person. I've met him in person, but I feel like I know his kids about as well as I know my kid, because they're usually on there in the background when I call in. So I feel like, yeah, I know his whole family.
Exactly, man. And you know, I went up and I did a trip with Brad Whitehead up at Pickwick this last fall, I guess. And Nick, that was the most phenomenal smallmouth trip I've ever been on. Let me back up. It's the first smallmouth trip I've ever been on. But oh my gosh, dude, it was live bait. I took a customer of mine. We went up there, fished with Brad. I think we started fishing at like 2:30 to like 5:30. So it wasn't a long trip, right? And I think we had right at 24, 25 pounds. Our top five fish would have been 24, 25 pounds smallmouth. And we probably caught 20 of them. It was insane, though. That was one of the most fun trips I've ever been on.
So it's funny that you mentioned that. I've never caught smallmouth. I just don't find myself up in that watershed that often. But I'm at the point now where I have fished all but 14 of Alabama's 67 counties. I've fly fished them. And that little northwest corner of the state is the only thing that I have left, because that's the furthest away from me. And I am itching to get out there this spring and catch some smallmouth. I think they would be awesome to catch on a fly rod. So that sounds like a good trip.
Man, we've always heard us guys here that have predominantly been largemouth bass guys and crappie and whatever else. We've always heard these other guys talk about how a smallmouth fights. I'm not exaggerating, dude. I felt like I had a saltwater fish on. I mean, where I'm just sitting there literally just holding the rod and you can't move it. It's the fightingest thing fish I've ever seen. Awesome. But hey, on the fly fishing, man, we need to hit the Sipsey up there. You know, the Sipsey runs out. Have you ever fished the Sipsey?
I have fished the Sipsey, actually.
The little Sipsey.
I'm not from the area, but I went, actually, one of our writers for the magazine, David Strickland, he's got some access up there to the Sipsey, and he's been fishing it since he was a little kid, and got decades of experience up there. I mean, probably been fishing it 50, 60 years, and grew up fishing it with his cousins and all that. So we went up there and we put a little square stern canoe in, and he motored me around, and he was catching some Alabama bass, spotted bass. And like you were saying, you know, a fish that just pound for pound fights hard, and then you get them in there where they got a little bit of current that they can work with. And it was a really fun trip.
Man, it's beautiful country up there too. That's the little Sipsey is, we kayaked it several times. Me and my wife, I fished it. I know that they have, is it the little Sipsey? It's right below the dam at Smith where they stock the trout. And I can't remember. I know they have a fly show. We've had them on the show a couple of different times, but I mean, you can go up there and catch trout on the fly rod too.
Yeah, So I've been up there. I'm Brandon Jackson, I think, Riverside Fly Shop's what you're talking
about.
That's it. I've had him on the show and got to meet him at a couple of fly fishing conventions. And you know, his wife is also a very accomplished fly fisherman and fly caster as well.
Well, that's something I want to get into more. You know, I love fishing on my kayak, and man, I've done a lot on the Cahaba and, you know, the Tallapoosa and the Coosa, and there's some great fishing for kayak guys on those rivers as well. But I want to get up and do some more and actually get the fly rod. And most of what I've done has been spinning rod. You know, I've fly fished a good bit up in Georgia and actually been up to Montana and things like that. And I love to fly fish. I need to take advantage of that. But we've got so many, we're so blessed here in Alabama, right, Nick? I mean, we've got, gosh, man, we got water. We got creeks. We got rivers. Beautiful. and they're fishing all of them. So there's a lot of access to take advantage of it. And a kayak's such a phenomenal way to do it. Even if you're in a large lake like Logan Martin or Lay Lake, which I fish, you follow any of them. You know, you can hook these things up with fish finders, and man, they people got live scope on them now and trolling motors, and you know, it's a great way to get into fishing without spending $100,000 to do it. And actually, Nick, I think this is a good lead in, you know, talking about the kayak fishing. And the reason that I'm on the show today is the very first guy that took me kayak fishing when I first got my kayak was Brandon Watson. And Brandon became not just a friend, but he became a part of the show. He was, man, I bet Brandon was been on the podcast 10 times, give or take, maybe a little more, maybe a few less, but man, just some really sad news from last week. Brandon had a fatal car accident. I think he had just turned 32. He was 31, 32, just got married in January, had a 3-year-old little stepdaughter that just adored him. And it's just a man to lose one of our community, especially one like him. I mean, it's just pretty traumatic deal, and he's definitely going to be missed.
Yeah, I know the kayak fishing community is a really close-knit little group. We got some guys down here and guys all over the state. You know, they kind of know each other, keep track of each other. So I know he's going to be missed. And actually, when I got the news, I had just got, y'all will see, anybody who's listening in who also reads the Great Days Outdoors magazine, you will actually see Brandon Watson show up in our fishing tip segment that we do. At the time, he had not passed. We've already got that magazine to print, so unfortunately, there won't be anything in there acknowledging his passing, which I really regret. It was just the timing worked out odd. We didn't know that had happened at the time. He was still with us. But he had a really good segment that I think is going to be really pertinent to people. For the May magazine, he was talking about thermoclines on the lake that he was fishing and how he was using those thermoclines to catch fish. So what we're actually going to do here, just kind of as a tribute to Brandon, is we're going to give y'all that segment. It was recorded last year. I feel like it will be timely, good information for this year, but you'll get to hear about his kayak fishing adventures, both on Alabama's lakes and offshore as well, which was something that I really enjoyed when I pulled from that show. I stuck around to hear some of his stories that he was telling, because the guys who go out there like Brandon and do that offshore kayak, and that's a really, really impressive feat. So definitely sad to observe Brandon's passing, and hoping that y'all enjoy this next segment.
Yeah. And man, what some of his stories, and I know that I've had some off air stories that may, you know, but there were some pretty good ones, I believe, on his past episodes where he's going out into the Gulf. And I mean, guys, he's miles out in the Gulf and catching just big bonita. And man, he's had some great shark experiences. I think he told me that he caught a 10-foot, I'm not exactly sure what kind of shark it was, but it was 10-foot. And the shark ended up dragging him like 5 miles down the shore in one direction before he could get him in. So he was a brave guy. And most importantly, man, a guy that loved the Lord. He was a strong, strong man of faith. And I hate it for his family, for his stepdaughter, for his new wife. And I just ask our community, our fishing community, kayak community, just be in prayer for Brandon and his family in this time of need. And just got a lot of good memories with the guy. Glad I was able to get on here. I had to come on under these circumstances, because I'd love for y'all to hear from me with nothing but good news. But, you know, the good news is he was a man of faith, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. So, hey, Nick, I know you got a lot to do. You got a podcast to put on. I really appreciate you reaching
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, hate that it was under these circumstances.
Absolutely. And a little while to say hello to all the old peeps. And Nick, let's go fishing, man. Let's go fishing, and then we can get on here and talk about it.
We'll definitely take you up on that. I may have to get you to put me on some smallmouth bass this spring.
Let's do it, buddy. Let's do it. All right, Nick, I appreciate it, man. I'll let you continue on, and miss all you guys out there, and hope to talk to you again soon.
This week's episode has been brought to you by Hilton's Real-Time Navigator. The days of heading out and blindly looking for good fishing areas are pretty much over. Don't waste time and money on fuel searching for fish. You need the recent highest resolution images to not only know where to go, but where not to go. The knowledge provided by today's technology is critical when planning an offshore fishing trip. Make the choice that professional captains all over the Gulf make and choose Hilton's Real-Time Navigator. The easy-to-use interface and excellent customer service will have you on the fish every time you go. Check it out at hiltonsoffshore.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Let's talk about kayaks, man. We hadn't had a kayak guy on here in a while. Y'all know I love my kayak fishing. So let's welcome to the show, Brandon Watson. What's going on, my friend?
Oh, not much, brother. Just hanging out, you know. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. It's been a minute. Me and you gotta hook up and go again.
We definitely do. It's actually been about a year since we went for that first time, so we're due for it again.
We're due for it, man. That's crazy how time flies. I did not realize it had been that long. I gotta do better, man. I hadn't been much lately.
Well, you know, you gotta get out there. I'd like to get out there more, but you know.
Yeah, I know, man. Life's busy. Well, hey, I know you've been up to Gunnersville some, man. Let's talk about what you've been able to do in the kayak up there on Gunnersville.
Well, it's been really good lately. You know, we've been having these little cold snaps coming through, and you know that can get them in a funk for a little while. But you know, a day or two, and they're back to chewing again. Everything's pretty much post spawn now. The last time I was up there was Saturday, and I did catch one fish off the bed, but that was the only fish I saw on bed all day. And I think that's pretty well getting wrapped up. Fish are, you know, they're still fish dirt shallow, garden fry, and, you know, you can catch them out. I've been catching them out to 10 foot of water lately.
That's good, man. Yeah, I was thinking about you here a few weeks ago. I had a guy on, he was talking about, man, they were just killing them back up in the shallow flats and in the grass on Gunnersville, and just catching some really good fish. And I was like, man, it'd be a great, great time of year to be up there in the kayak. And I knew you'd probably be in. So,
yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's, you know, this is probably my favorite time of year for fishing in general, but especially kayak fishing, because, you know, you've got all the fish, they've come off the beds and they haven't quite moved out to their summer deep water haunts yet. So, you know, you can go out there and, you know, they're feeding real aggressively, so you can go and catch them on power fishing techniques, and you know, it's just real fun right now.
Yeah, no doubt, man. What were you catching fish on this past weekend?
Well, Saturday we actually had a little cold front come through, and the fish kind of got a little funky, and the TVA was like pulled the bottom out of the lake on Saturday, so those shallow fish got a little finicky, and I actually had to switch over and start throwing a wacky rig Senko. And that's pretty much, you know, if you talk to anybody that's fishing Gunnersville right now, you know, a wacky rig Senko is just killing them just anywhere. But you know, when that pressure, when those fish start experiencing pressure, be it from anglers or water level fluctuating or pressure from weather changes, then you know, you can put on a wacky rig Senko and go to work.
I hear you, man. Well, you know, with the kayak, you know, we Gunnersville, I mean, it's just an incredible fishery, and I mean, it's world known for bass angling, but with that comes a lot of pressure, right? I mean, there's tournaments all the time. There's, especially on the weekends, there's just tons of people fishing. Are you able to find water with that kayak that may not be so pressured?
Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite spots on Gunnersville that I've been in, and it's like shining this time of year, is it's just this little depression in a grass flat, and you know, you'll see all these bass boats coming by and they'll fish on the, you know, on the outer edge of this depression, but it gets, there's a really shallow like gravel bar that kind of like cuts it off from where all the bass boats go. And like, once you go over that little gravel bar, it drops off into a little bit deeper hole and it just holds fish and big fish this time of year. And, you know, they'll be, those bass boat guys, they'll be catching them out there on the edge, but not quite like I've got over there in that little hole.
Yeah. You can get to those spots that other people can't get to in that kayak. That's for sure. And that's what's fun about it, man. That's what I love about it too, is you can just kind of, you can find these little niche places and find fish that aren't being pressured quite as much.
Yeah. And then too, you get I feel like you get a better than average quality fish too, because these fish seek out these areas to not be bothered. And, and so they're allowed to accumulate in these areas and not see lures buzzing over their head all day, every day. And so that makes them easier to catch. And then too, there's an abundance of quality fish in these areas that, you know, aren't getting hammered day in and day out.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, man, as the fish move, how much longer do you think that you'll be able to catch the fish in the, I guess at Gunnersville, a lot of those fish stay shallow. I mean, they stay in that grass for a good part of the year, or is there a time, are we getting to that time when a lot of those fish are starting to move out?
So there are fish that will stay shallow year-round in any lake, but especially Gunnersville, because you have that grass, it oxygenates the water, it provides cover and shade. So as the water temperature heats up, it's still cool underneath these grass canopies and stuff. So these fish, you know, they stay there. The problem gets to being when the grass gets so thick that you can't effectively work the grass and present your lure to the fish that are living in that area. And we're closing in on that. You know, we got probably another month to a month and a half before it starts getting choked out in those areas.
Yeah.
And I think, from what I could tell, these cold fronts that we've had here lately have kind of delayed the carp spawning, which has been a good thing, because once those carp get spawning in that grass and tearing it up, you know, those bass, I still believe they're there, but they just get a little finicky and get a little bit harder to catch when those carp, because I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they'll be tearing the grass up and making the water muddy, and it just looks like somebody's dropping bowling balls in the water from airplanes, and so, you know, it's a lot of commotion going on, and I think those bass kind of, you know, it definitely affects them.
Hey, that's when we need to get on our kayaks and go up there with our with a bow and arrow and do some bow fishing.
Absolutely, but if you're going to do it, just take them with you. Don't leave them on the ramp.
Yeah. Just take them out. Hey, some big ones up there. That'd be fun. Well, I know that another thing that you look forward to this time of year is, you know, we're talking about the kayak fishing, how versatile it is. I mean, this is the time of year when you start going out to the Gulf, right?
Yes, sir.
And I have not tried that yet. I think next time I go, I'm gonna see if I can take my kayak along. But man, it just sounds, it's a little intimidating to start with, because I mean, you out there in a kayak fishing for some, I mean, you've caught some big fish out there.
I have, you know, it's not uncommon to catch king mackerel as big as your leg. that's probably the most common catch that I have going out, and I specifically target them, but you know, it's the wild blue yonder. You never know what you might tie up with.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if you saw it, but I saw an article the other day where these guys, they go out in their kayak off the shore. They take the bait out in the kayak, and then they come back to shore, and they got they're doing nighttime guided shark trips. And
I have seen that.
And they called it was the first ever reported, anyway, great white shark that had been caught off the shoreline.
It was. That was in Orange Beach.
Yeah, it was in Orange Beach. So
that was the first one. There were some guys that had caught one a couple of years ago off the beach in Panama City. And then I believe another one this year was caught in Pensacola. But that was the first one in Alabama that had been caught off the beach.
Man, that's so cool. That'd be fun.
That would be fun. So I've actually tried that before. And I was taking the baits out in the kayak, and the sharks were like picking them up before I could get back to the shore to get to the rod.
Wow.
I had a buddy waiting on the beach for me. And he said, you know, after I would drop the bait, I would take two baits out at a time. And when I would drop one and be paddling over to drop the other, he said the other bait was already like taken off.
Jeez. How far out would you take them?
Probably a couple hundred yards is all. I don't have the big giant reels like the shark guides have. So, you know, I try to keep it in a little bit closer so that I can, you know, if I do hook up with something, I can manage it.
Yeah, I was wondering how far. I mean, they got the setups for it and the big giant reels with lots of line on it for sure. But I was wondering how far they take those things out.
From my understanding, when they take the baits out and they're fishing for those like 10-plus foot sharks, they take them out. They take those baits out about 400 yards.
Dang, that's a pretty good ways. That's a lot of line.
It is. It is.
Good gracious. Well, man, I know that you know that you'll be going down there a good bit and catching the kings and you snapper and man all kind of stuff. So that's a fun thing to try and something I need to try for sure.
You definitely need to try it. That's actually what got me hooked on kayak fishing. That was the first time I had ever gone kayak fishing. I went out in the Gulf and caught a 25-pound king mackerel, and I was, needless to say, hooked. And you definitely need to try it. It's definitely an adrenaline rush and, you know, an adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you're in a little kayak. Yeah. You're just watching them waves, man. Hope a storm don't blow up, but you can see it.
Well, you know,
you can get in. You don't go out there when it's rough.
I was going to say, if anybody is thinking about giving it a go, I would definitely watch the weather closely. You got to watch the weather. And you know, the surf reports and make sure that the waves aren't going to get too big.
Good deal, man. Well, Brandon, I appreciate you calling in, buddy. It's always good to get kayak report. And, man, stay after it, and we'll talk to you again soon, buddy. Stay safe out there.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. Take care.
This week's episode has been brought to you by Killer Doc. Most fishermen clean their fish on something like an unsightly old wooden table or the top of a cooler, somewhere that's not comfortable, not sanitary, and not attractive. Killer Doc makes the greatest fish cleaning stations known to mankind. They are built from marine-grade aluminum and ceramic-coated to protect them from the harsh salt environment. Killer Doc makes tables and canopies at several different sizes, so whatever you need on your dock, deck, or patio, they have a fish cleaning station for you. Check out KillerDoc.com to see more. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And again, don't forget to text that code ALFFR to 779-345-2918. Get you that free AFCO Sun Protection Mask promo code and get added to our email list so that we can send you the new show each week. This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by Texas Hunter. Since 1954, Texas Hunter Products has delivered the finest quality fish and game feeders and hunting blinds in the industry. To learn more, visit texashunter.com. Also by Southeastern Pond Management. Since 1989, Southeastern Pond Management has been a leader in pond and lake management services. Schedule an obligation-free consultation today. Call 1-888-830-POND or info@sepond.com. Also brought to you by Fish Bites. Whether you're hitting the sand with set rig or fishing the flats and marshes for speckled trout, redfish, and flounder, Fish Bites has something for you. Check out the full line of scented saltwater and freshwater baits at fishbites.com.